We didn't talk about what we were going to preach on before the meeting, but he talked about a certain lawyer, and I'm going to talk about a certain young ruler, rich man, that comes to the Lord Jesus, seeking him. And in chapter 10, we have this story, as well as in some of the other Gospels, we have this story, and it's about a person seeking the Lord, and some people have even labeled this story, this person, as somebody who was a genuine, earnest seeker. Well, there was a problem. He was probably genuine, and he was probably earnest, but there was a problem that he had. And that problem stood between him and God's salvation. And I want you to know tonight, if you're not saved, if you still haven't come to know Christ as your Savior, I want you to know something that I found out before I was saved. I was searching. I wanted it. I was starting to understand what he was telling me. I knew what I was. I was a sinner. I knew where I was heading. This friend told me very clearly, the reason why you are not saved right now is because there's something more important to you. There's something standing between you and your decision to trust Christ. And so I had to find out that there was something more important to me than God's salvation. And I thought that there was nothing more important to me than God's salvation. Well, let's read the story about this rich young ruler here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. We'll start reading in at verse number 17, and you're going to hear some similar sayings. The rich or the lawyer had some questions, and he was given a story about the Good Samaritan and who is my neighbor. Well, we're going to find out the question that he asked was the same. Verse number 17 says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Now, notice this, and it's kind of unusual, but he was running, then he kneeled to him, then he asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? See, there's the same question. What can I do that I can get this? Let's put it in our language, what we're trying to tell you today, what you should be saying in your heart, from your heart to God, what can I do to get God's salvation? How can I get this? I need this. I understand my need. I want it, but how can I get it? And so the rich young ruler, he says, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, okay, there's a problem with what he just said. Good master. He's using a term that only applies to God. The intrinsically good, inwardly good, which you're not going to find in any human being. Not a one of us has that goodness. Oh, that goodness is imputed to those, given to those that trust Christ. Thank God for that. But we're still just sinners saved by grace. Those of us that are saved tonight, know Christ as our Savior, we still have our hang-ups. All you have to do is hang around with me a little while, and you'll find out that I'm still flawed. And you're sore, you. But you know what the difference between me and those here that have trusted Christ and yourself tonight? They've found God's salvation. They've said, they've understood, they've come to a point where they realize what's in my way has got to be moved, got to be taken away. Nothing can be more important than God's salvation. You know, the Lord Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. That word strive means to agonize, to want it more than anything else in the world. And you know what? I can look at you. I can see some interest in the gospel. I can see maybe some interest if I was to talk one-on-one with you. And I could see maybe, yes, you do want to be saved. I can see that. But you know where I can't see? Is your heart. And I can't see that thing that's stopping you from trusting Christ right now. You need to get to that. And so this rich young ruler, he asks him, what can I do? He's earnest. You can see this. He runs. There's a haste to this. And really, when it comes to God's salvation, you have to make it. You have to put it in earnest. You have to come to the Lord Jesus now. That's why the Bible is very clear about when you should get saved. It's not something for tomorrow. It's not something for next week. It's not something for, well, when I'm finished what I'm doing now, or maybe after I get, you know, to that point in my life where I'm retired and I can, you know, sit back and relax a bit, I'll consider it then. Or maybe it's something else. You've got something in the way and you're going to say to yourself, you're saying to yourself, well, it's going to be then. But God says in his word, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. It's not something that you should put off or think that you can put off for another time. All you have to do to have a real eye-opener is just open up the obituaries and you will see that death, if you look at the ages of the people that died, is no respecter of persons. And it doesn't matter. Death will take any, and there's no discrimination, an age. So you can't say, I've got tomorrow. The Bible's very clear on that case too. It says, boast not yourself in tomorrow, for you do not know what tomorrow brings. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring you. And nobody does. That's why salvation is now. So he comes to this teacher. He comes to the right person. He comes to the Lord Jesus and he calls him good master, but he's missing something here because I don't really believe he knows who he's talking to. He doesn't know that he's standing before the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he doesn't understand this, but what he does understand is that he needs something. There's something missing from his life. Somebody has gone through his life and kind of analyzed it a little bit, and I thought, boy, here's a young man. Oh, he's young. He's got that going for him. He's young. He's rich. Oh, so he's been very successful. Young. And he's you know, kind of climbed the ladder a bit. He's kind of been successful in whatever he put his mind to in his work. And it called him a ruler, which has bearing or significance to his religious life. He was probably, as it states in the Jewish society, he was probably one of the rulers of the synagogue. Imagine, that's usually reserved for older men. But here's a young man that climbed the ladder. He was young. He was successful in business. And he was also very well known and respected in his community, and he was respected amongst his church. So much so that he became a ruler. He was a rich young ruler. And so he's all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of climbed the ladder, he's kind of done this, he's kind of done that. You ever get where you get to a point in your life where you're looking for something? Something else. You've got this and you've got that, and now it's time to move on to something else that you need and you want. Well, I think this young man had that kind of an idea. He was looking for maybe fulfillment, maybe more purpose. Maybe that's what you're looking for. Fulfillment, purpose. Maybe you're looking for just happiness. Maybe you're looking for love. Maybe you're looking for the meaning of life. That's what I used to say before I was saved. I said, there's got to be something more to life. There's got to be a real meaning, a purpose. There's got to be something that I'm missing here. There's got to be. And I was struggling to look for that. But I don't know what your case is. But this young ruler, he was all of these things. But he came to a point that he realized that I'm missing something. I need something else. I need something more. And he knew what it was. Do you know what you need tonight? Are you like the rich young ruler in this way? I know I need salvation. I know I need eternal life. I don't have it. Do you know that? Can you honestly say from your seat in your own mind right now, I don't have eternal life, but I want it? Well, I want to say you've come to the right place. Not that we can save you, but not that we can do anything to cause you any anxious thoughts or anything like that. But we're reading simply from the Word of God, from what the Lord Jesus says. And what He says is the most important. And so you have come to the right person, young man. But he didn't realize who this really was. Do you really truly understand who Jesus Christ is? Don't make the mistake of the religious groups in the world that are bringing God down to a mere just another buddy or the big guy in the sky. Just the irreverent, the lack of the sense of how holy God is. See, we're dealing with a God who hates sin. But he loves the sinner. There will be absolutely no sin allowed in heaven. And some people think, sure he's got to overlook some of my sin. He will not overlook any of your sin. He cannot. He's a holy and a just God. And he has to deal with sin. God who is holy. He's not a big brother in the sky. He's not buddy. He's not Jesus, our friend, and, you know, the way people bring him down to something that he's not, he's still holy. And this is the God we have to deal with. I wonder if you've realized just how different you are from God. You know, the Bible calls us ungodly. That means we're not like God. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We are ungodly, not like him. We're on the furthest, on the spectrum, the furthest away. We have no likeness to God other than we're made up of a living spirit, a living soul. We have something that's coexistent, will be coexistent with God for all eternity. Oh, wait, not with God. If you're not saved, you won't be with God for all eternity, but you will exist for all eternity. Where are you tonight? In light of this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So he says, well, okay, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord Jesus says, okay, why do you call me good when there is none good but God? See, he's bringing him to his senses. He's bringing him to what he actually needs to hear. He's bringing him to the point where he's going to understand, and unfortunately he makes the wrong decision. Now, hopefully you don't. But he's going to understand what it is that stands between him and getting God's salvation. Yes, he comes in earnest. Yes, he humbles himself and he bows on his knees before the one and he says, can you, good master, good teacher, can you tell me how I can get this, what I'm missing? Because he understands what he's missing. I really hope tonight, in the meeting tonight, that there's somebody here that really understands that they're missing eternal life. And I really hope and I trust God impresses this on your heart tonight, how much you need it, and you cannot get to heaven except through Jesus Christ himself. We're going to get to that in a bit. But anyway, he says to him, okay, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And then verse number 19, he says, thou knowest the commandments. So he's looking at this young man. He's understanding. See, the Lord knew who he was talking to. He knows who he is looking at in this meeting tonight. Just like this young man. He knew exactly. You know the commandments. Yeah, he knew. This was a rich young ruler. This was somebody who was up. He had climbed many ladders. He was very religious. So he gets right to the core of it. And he says, you know the commandments. And then he starts quoting the manward commandments, the last six of the Ten Commandments. He commands, he goes through those and he says, you know those commandments. He says, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Remember the first story you heard tonight? And he, willing to justify himself, who's my neighbor? People are always looking to make themselves right, even in the face of hearing the truth about their sin. People just always, and I did the same before I was saved. I thought, well, I'm not that bad. Well, really, you know, somebody's worse than I am. And you might start thinking about people that you know that are far worse, and maybe they are. But you know what? They don't matter. You matter. Right now, oh, they matter. Yes, I'm not saying that in a degrading way. They do matter, but not in your mind right now. They should not matter. It's you that should matter. And so the young man, he says to the young man, you know, but he's willing to justify himself. He says, Master, I've done all these. I've observed all of these commandments. Oh, you have you? You really love your neighbor as yourself? You could ask that man that was on that journey down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and when he was healthy and not beaten up, not left half dead, what he thought of Samaritans before he became in that condition. Like you said, that was the thing. You called me a Samaritan, didn't you? Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's very degrading to an Israelite to talk to a Samaritan. Like they were just discredited people. They didn't like them. And that's the kind of attitude they would have towards them. But when he was in need, when he was dying, half dead, well, it didn't matter who. I just need a Savior. And so many people in our world today, they speak about the Savior very loosely. They use him as a swear word. They degrade his name. They mock his coming. They say things like, if you're slow at something in what you do, that you say you're slower than the second coming. They mock the very person of Christ, who is holy and who is the one that came to deal with our problem of sin. And so this young man had to come to his sense. He had to be brought to his senses. Okay, you do that, do you? Oh, okay, so you observe everything. You love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Go and sell everything you have. And here's where it comes. This is where he realizes that one thing that stands in his way. God is not asking you to close your bank account and give everything away, sell your house. He's not asking that. But this young man had something that stood between him and God's salvation, and that was his love for what he had, all his accumulation. And there are people like that in our world today, yes. And they would put more value on those things than really getting to the root, to getting this salvation that we need and you need. And so he says, go sell you what you have. And he said, that's when he bowed his head and he was very sad because he thought, nope. Went away sad because he had great riches. And it wasn't because he had great riches that he didn't get God's salvation is because he had love for that more than anything else. I want to tell you why the Lord Jesus didn't go to the first four commandments first. Because in that moment, that young man would have realized that the God he placed before him, and that's the first commandment, have no other gods before me, his God was his possessions. That was his God. What's standing between you and God's salvation? I don't know. And like I said earlier in the meeting, I can't see into your heart. I might see an interest. I might see an attentive look. I might see you, you know, just, you know, interacting with eye contact. And it's wonderful to have that. And I love that. But I can't see in your heart. So I don't know where you're standing right now in view of God's salvation. But you had the right question right off the start, like this young man. You're asking, right? I hope you are. What can I do to get this? And I want to point you to the cross. I want you to take you with the Lord Jesus Christ upon a cross there on Calvary's Hill. And it was there in darkness that God laid on him our sin. And he punished him. And he should have punished you and I. We should have been the one punished for our sins. But there on the cross, in the darkness, God laid all, poured out all of his wrath upon him. And it was there in those dark hours that Christ paid the price that you and I could never pay. We can't pay it. That's why we need a Savior. The only way we're going to have eternal life is by trusting in him. And when we put our faith in the person of Christ, in his work there upon the cross of Calvary, when we trust what God did there, and we know that God's satisfied with that work, we can be satisfied too, and we can go away from this meeting. You can go away from this meeting tonight knowing your sins forgiven by just a simple truth. Jesus died for me. Did he die for you? Trust God that you'll come to your senses. Realize whatever it is that's in your way, you might cast it off and trust Christ tonight as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for all your love and kindness in presenting a way in which sinners can be saved. And we look to the cross of Calvary and we understand, and we've tried very hard to point to the person of Christ as the only means whereby a sinner can be saved. So we pray for thy blessing as we part now in our Savior's name. Amen.